Hey, New Life Church, Bronson Duke here. Thanks for listening in. The heart of our church is that you would know Jesus, that you would walk with Jesus, and you would learn how to live like he lived. We hope that this message equips you and it empowers you on your journey walking with Jesus.
All right, I'm going to invite you to stand again one more time. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And Miss Victory's got this for us. We're going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16.
Yes. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Easter Sunday. God, we thank you that Christ is risen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, you can take a seat. Well, how is everyone? Feeling good? You know, I want to confess, just right off the top here, I've been grumbling and complaining about a March Easter since last summer. I was looking at the calendar. I'm like, Easter in March? What is this? And you know what? I want to repent. Weather's beautiful. It's not raining. It's not cold. It's wonderful. So I'm excited. I do this every year. Every Easter, I remind you of this quote, and there's arguments about who said it. But here's what it says. It says, "Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not just in the history books alone, but in every leaf in springtime." I love this time of year because you go outside and you see dead things, things that seem dead, coming to life. Amen? Here's a basic question as we get started. Have you ever searched for something, expecting to find one thing, and then being surprised that you end up finding something totally different? All right? Like you go on Netflix to find a movie and you end up watching another serial killer documentary, right? Or you start looking for a new hobby and you actually find an addiction, all right? I'm looking at you, pickleball people. You're searching for how old Michael Keaton is because you were watching the original Batman from the 80s. And then you end up down like this Wikipedia rabbit hole and looking at every movie that Tim Burton has directed. Anybody? Just me? Where my Wikipedia? Who in here uses Wikipedia? How many of y'all are given to Wikipedia? Just me. That's right. Okay, that's what I thought. A little guilt and judgment to start this thing out. But here's the truth. We often find things when we're searching that we weren't expecting, right? So I moved here in 2009. I was 20 years old. I had a 2001 Ford Explorer and a trunk full of nothing but junk, music equipment, and dreams, okay? I moved here to learn about church. I knew that God had called me to plant a church. I was going to plant a church one day. This was my vision. I was dead set on it. That was the plan. I was content with nothing because Jesus was my portion, right? And then I met a woman, not a girl. I'd met girls before. I met a woman. And all my plans turned to ash. As I had to figure out from going from being so poor to have a diversity of wardrobe, I was dyeing white t-shirts. And I had a roommate who was cutting my hair to being able to win and take care of this woman. Listen, I was searching. But what I found was unexpected. God interrupted my searching with his plan. Here's something I've noticed. We're all searching for something, right? This is part of the human experience. We search for meaning. We search for pleasure. We search for happiness and contentment. From the most stagnant of us to the most ambitious, we all search, right? Some of us are searching for comfort. Like, that's it. You're like, I just want a moment's peace. And all the parents of young children said. Others of us are searching for power and control. and domination. A quote I read this week that just got me so fired up, lit my hair on fire. Kirby Smart said this, coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. He said, "I want more than relevance. I want dominance." And we've been dominant this last 3 years. I don't want the ebbs and flows and one-hit wonders. I don't want any player to leave the University of Georgia without a championship. Y'all, that makes me want to run through. I want to try out for the team, okay? Here's the question. What are you searching for? It could be a drive for success. It could be a relationship to bring you fulfillment. Or it could be whatever situation is going to give you the most calm and peace because you have a life full of struggle. At the heart of searching is something that every human experiences, which is restlessness, right? Ronald Rollheiser said in his book, A Holy Longing, he said, "We are not restful creatures who sometimes get restless, fulfilled people who sometimes are dissatisfied, serene people who sometimes experience disquiet, but rather we are restless people who occasionally find rest, dissatisfied people who occasionally find fulfillment, and disquieted people who occasionally find serenity." Can anyone relate to this? We don't naturally default into rest, satisfaction, and quiet, but the opposite. Why? Because at the center of our lives is a fiery energy, a perpetual disquiet, a lingering loneliness, an inchoate ache for something we can neither name or understand. All of our miseries, Pascal once said, ultimately stem from the fact that we cannot sit in the room alone for 1 hour. Ooh, that's a long quote, but I felt every word. What's at the heart of restlessness in the human experience? I want to submit to you that it's longing. We all have this deep longing. So here's a question. What are you searching for? What are you longing for? And have you experienced what I've experienced, which is searching and longing, but not finding fulfillment? Here's the ultimate question. What has what you've been going to satisfy your longings, delivered on its promises? Has the well you've gone to drink from ultimately satisfied you? We had an Easter egg hunt yesterday with all the kids. And, they come away with a treasure hoard of candy, right? And Georgia's just going ham, all right? She's eating candy. I'm writing the sermon, so I'm like, eat all the candy you want, all right? Callie's out looking for shoes. She's just like slamming popsicles, eating candy. And we're sitting there and Callie's like, Georgia, that's enough candy. And I said, Georgia, what did Daddy tell you about Easter? And she goes, no more candy. I said, no, on Easter, we eat candy until we're sick, all right? All to celebrate Jesus, right? Here's what I want to promise you. This afternoon, we're doing another Easter egg hunt. You know what's going to happen? She ate herself sick on candy yesterday. She's going to eat herself sick on candy again today. She is going to be a candy monster. Have you ever found that after you had your fill of something that you desired, that you were not only not satisfied, you were miserable, and then you went back to that well the next time you were hungry or restless, and you found that once again, you weren't satisfied, but you were miserable, and you go through this perpetual cycle of hunger and consumption and misery, and hunger and consumption and misery. Listen, we all have basic desires, desires for pleasure. And you drink from that cup and you find, shockingly, that there's no end to that desire for pleasure, right? Maybe it's power and you climb the ladder only to find that with power comes problems, right? And now you find yourself longing for peace, right? Maybe it's money. I had a friend who was giving some career coaching advice to another friend, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to warn you before you answer that if your answer is more, I cannot help you. Because no matter how much more money you make, you're going to want more money if that's what you're aiming at. No matter how much success you have, if you get success, you're going to hunger for more and more success." There's nothing wrong with these things, right? There's nothing objectively wrong with pleasure, with power, with success. What's wrong is when we think we can go to those things and we can find rest and satisfaction for our souls. So here's a question. What are you ultimately searching for? You searching for a better marriage? Listen, we can give you some advice. You searching for financial peace? We do, Dave Ramsey, all right? But what if I told you that there is an answer for your deepest longings, the things that you most search for? St. Augustine described his experience this way. He said, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Here's what we believe as Christians, that we were made by God, for God. And until we learn to rest in him who made us, we'll be in a perpetual cycle of wanting, consuming, wrestling, and longing. And the promise of Christianity is that despite all the hungers and desires of life, all the powers and things that you experience, if you go searching for Jesus, what I've found, what I want to testify to today, and I actually want to speak directly at, is if you go searching for Jesus, he will satisfy you in ways that nothing else could. All those other wells that you went to drink from that left you thirstier and thirstier. Christ promises in John chapter 7, he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from their heart." You'll no longer have to go out to find something to drink, but you'll become a person who can offer others something to drink because there is an infinite well flowing out of your life. Listen, if you resonate with this, and I'm describing your experience to a T, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, the question I want you to ask, and I want to ask you, is how do you find rest for your souls? Here's my main point this morning. We find rest in Jesus. I want to encourage you to seek after Jesus. In our text this morning, in Mark chapter 16, the angel said to the pair of Marys, said, "You seek Jesus." Here's what we find. They're seeking Jesus, but they're shocked by what they find, right? If you go through the passage, they come to a tomb, which would have been hewn from rock, and they roll this enormous stone in front of it. And to their surprise, we've got to note this, to their surprise, they find the tomb unsealed and a dude sitting in there, all right? It's not Jesus. Dude wearing white. And the text says they were alarmed, all right? If you're expecting to go mourn someone who's dead and you find their grave open and robbed and someone sitting in it, you're going to be alarmed, all right? The Greek here, ekthembeo, what it means is to be moved to an intense emotion because of something, to be greatly surprised or perplexed. They are searching for a dead man in a tomb, and they're surprised to find it empty. Let me call out the elephant in the room. For many of you, you have an emotional reaction, for many of us, to Christianity. For some of us, it's joy. It's like when we got to that line where it's like, you know, we're declaring to the powers of the air, darkness, your hour is over, you're like jumping out of your seat, right? For others of you, it's anger. You've been hurt by, or people you know have been hurt by Christians. For some of you, it's just an emotion of total apathy. Here's my question. What do you expect when you think of Jesus? Do you expect to find answers? Do you expect to find life? Or do you expect to find a dead man in a tomb? For me, I was thinking through my experience growing up in church. You know what I expected from Christianity? Boredom. You want to know why? Because I experienced boredom. I went to church and the sermon was boring and I didn't understand it. But I had to sit in there with my parents. And I had to pee so bad, if I could have Googled, it didn't exist at the time, I would have Googled, can you die from having to pee, right? I was just laying there feeling like I was going to die. And the truth is, I found church excruciating. So therefore, I expected Christ to be excruciatingly boring, right? And you know what I found outside of church? Fun. I had a lot of fun. I'm telling you, you wanted to come to my parties, okay? I threw good parties. We had a really good time. But here's the reality. You know what I didn't find? When trouble came and I drank my fill, I didn't find fulfillment. When I hit issues and I needed answers, I didn't find answers in the fun to help me navigate life. Listen, I went to church expecting and assuming to find a dead, boring Jesus, but what I found has absolutely amazed me, shocked me, and perplexed me. It's been an absolute roller coaster. I'm just telling you. I wish I had 3 hours and I could tell you all the different things that have happened. I wish it would just settle out, honestly. Just being real in my Christian life. I wish it would just get easy and get peaceful. But here's the reality of life with Christ or without Christ. It doesn't settle out. It doesn't get easier, right? The old preacherism is you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm, right? Jerry Seinfeld said it really well this week. He was talking about the Porsche 356. It's a car from the 50s and 60s. He said, the older you get, you crave simplicity more and more because your life only gets more complex and more of a nuisance and more stressful. Despite all your efforts to untangle your life, it only gets more tangled. As your kids get older, you think, oh, they're leaving the house and things will get easier. That's my best Seinfeld. He said, no, now they've just got real problems you have to deal with. It only gets worse and worse. So that's why I like the Porsche 356. That's his logic, all right? But can anybody relate to this? Especially parents of older children, as I've talked to many of you, it just gets more and more complex. The problems get more expensive. That's what people tell me. Okay. What have you been searching for to deal with these issues? And here's the ultimate question. Is it working? Living for pleasure, living for success, living to just accrue more and more and more. Maybe living to get in a room by yourself and hide away behind a screen and distract yourself into oblivion so you don't have to deal with the problems of life. Maybe you're here, and to your surprise, these things have not fulfilled your longings. They have not fixed your problems, but in a frustrating, perplexing, and shocking way, they're actually stronger now than ever. That's just for the Christians in the room. Here's my appeal to you. If you've sought satisfaction in all these other areas, I want to encourage you, seek Jesus. Listen, if what he said about himself is true, and he is the author of life, if he is the master of humanity, maybe he has things to teach us about life. George always says to Callie, I love the story I'm about to tell you. George always says to Callie, why'd you marry Daddy? And Callie always says, because he's the best one I found. She had choices, all right? This pushes my confidence to 11, all right? Why am I a Christian? He's the best one I found. It's the only place where I found grace for my mistakes and an explanation for life and suffering that actually made sense and helped me deal with the problems. It's the one place where I took my deepest desires and longings, but actually found that they weren't too strong. They were too weak. They were too weak to satisfy me. He's the only God you'll find to serve who first served you. How? He was crucified. So first, seek Jesus. Second, seek the crucified Jesus. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Have you ever thought about this? Why come in the first century? Like, why then? Where they were like really brutal in the way they killed people? Come to 2020. You're going to get a steak dinner and an IV drip while you fall asleep, all right? Why go and be tortured and killed by the Romans? If it's me, I'm God, I'm coming in 2024. But Jesus had to come to a time where they would kill him for the things that he said and the things that he did. Some say that Jesus didn't actually die. And there are a number of theories as to what happened. There's the twin theory. Have you all seen The Prestige? Christian Bale? There's the twin theories that he had an identical twin who was hidden. The problem is that his mother was there weeping. And Callie will testify that mothers have an incredible way of telling their twins apart. Some say he wasn't really dead. It was the he wasn't really dead theory. We'll call it that. That he was so strong, he survived. But here's the issue. The Romans were incredibly accomplished at murder. They were incredibly accomplished at execution. If you were taking too long, they'd break your legs so you'd suffocate up there. And in the end, to make sure that you were dead, they would stab you in the heart. So that one, in my mind, doesn't really check out. There's the they made it all up theory, which if this is the case, there's so many problems. Number one, if you're making up a story, you don't pick witnesses who can't testify in court. The first people to see Jesus were women. Number two, and this is the most compelling one to me, almost all the disciples who walked with Jesus were killed for refusing to deny their faith. Listen, maybe one dude is so committed to the lie that he dies, but not 11, right? And there's the fact that after he was crucified, they went from being 12 to a third of the planet believing in this once living and allegedly dead king. Here's what I want to submit to you. This is what we believe throughout church history, that on Good Friday, that Christ was killed upon a cross, that he gave up his life. It was not taken from him. He laid it down. That between Friday and Sunday, that he went down to Hades. Now, they had a different understanding of hell than we have. He didn't go down to the lake of fire. What he went down to was this place called Hades or Sheol. And in Sheol, they would have separated the unrighteous from the righteous. It says that Jesus went down to Sheol to go get those who have put trust in God. And he broke the gates of hell off of their frame. And he led those people in a triumphal procession into eternity and into paradise with God. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. Listen, why did Mark use names? Why did he say Mary and Mary? They were still alive. They used all these names throughout the scripture because what Christ was saying is go ask questions. Go ask these people. They saw it happen. Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus' death was to defeat sin, the things that you battle in your life. His 3 days of death was a defeat of hell. He ripped the gate off of its hinges. And his resurrection was a defeat of death. So seek Jesus. But don't just seek any Jesus. Seek the suffering, crucified Jesus. But don't just seek the suffering and crucified Jesus. Seek the risen Jesus. The angel said, he is risen. He is not here. Listen, some of you feel like that you have sin in your life that is keeping you from God. I can't allow you to believe that in my church. Christ died for the sin that you struggle with because he loves you. Come to Jesus. Keep fighting, accept forgiveness. Some of you feel like evil is crushing in on you. I can't allow you to believe that in my church. He defeated hell. He ripped the gate off its hinges. He went into their home court and he beat death at its own game. Come to Jesus. Some of you feel like there are dead things in your life that could never come back to life. I can't allow you to believe that in our church. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. Come to Jesus. Why am I a Christian? Because I once was dead. But now I'm alive in Christ. Here's the gospel. Jesus has risen, and he's risen to seek you. The angel said, go get the disciples. All the women came, expecting to find dead Jesus with burial spices, and the men were nowhere to be found. And the angel says, go get the disciples. Oh, and go get Peter. The angel reminds him, go get Peter, because Peter had denied Christ. He was deep in his shame. If you are deep in your shame, you have gone throughout life searching for different things that have called your name but have not delivered on the promises that they've made you. Jesus is calling. And what he's saying is that whatever you've gone through, whatever you've done, whatever you've struggled with, I've seen it all. I died for it. I overcame it. I rose from the dead so that you could experience the same resurrection. What's been calling after you? Listen, everything changes when you hear Jesus call your name. He delivers on what he promised. He loved you before whatever you were seeking. He loved you before your last mistake. He's going to love you after your next one. And here's the invitation to come and follow, to learn about life from the Master of Life. And if you answer his call, you'll find rest for your soul, rest for your longings, purpose for your life, and a promise for your future. And if you go where he calls you, I promise you he'll meet you there. Amen. The gospel is not simply the minimum requirement to get you into heaven, although it is that. It is the power of God to change your life today. And here's what I know. We have all these different experiences of life. Some of you right now, you sense God pulling at your heart and calling you back. Listen, accept the call. It's a call of grace. It's a call of love, a call of mercy. You might need to rededicate your life this morning. You were never not saved, but maybe you quit walking with him and experiencing the power of his salvation. I want to encourage you to get back on the path. For some of you, you've never believed. The scripture says that if you'll call on his name with trust, he will come down. He'll meet you where you're at. He'll deliver you from your sin. He'll deliver you into a life of purpose. And you'll have a hope that's secure with him forever and ever and ever. Amen? Let's go into a time of prayer. Bow your heads all across the room. Come, Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you right now to go through your life and just to take an inventory here on Easter. As I've been going through these desires, these lesser desires, these lesser loves, and maybe you've been going and drinking from a cup that is not satisfying you, you can just hold your hands in front of you. Just turn your palms up on your lap. It's just a posture of receiving. If you want to come to Jesus, seek satisfaction. God, we believe that you satisfy us. And God, right now we repent of going to all these other things. God, we thank you that you save us from these things. God, I repent of all the wells that I go to. We believe, we declare right now, Jesus, that you are the one, you are the well that never runs dry. If you're in here and you're going through life and you've never made a decision to follow after Christ, but right now you'd like to make that decision. You've been going to these other places. You've experienced exactly what I'm describing. Here's what I experienced, that God came and met me in my sin. He filled me with his Holy Spirit, and he gave me the power to become who he's made me to be. And if that's you, you can just hold your hands out in front of you. It's just a posture of receiving. You can say with me, Jesus, I believe that you are who you say you are. I accept your salvation. I accept your grace. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Hey guys, thanks for listening in. I hope that this message blessed you and it helps you in your journey with Jesus. If it did, leave a comment, leave a review. Things like that help us spread the message of Jesus. If you want to connect with us, the best way to do that is to follow us on Instagram at NLC Downtown Little Rock to follow along with the life of our church.